we're here. We're awake. We're moving. Okay, so shout out to Malia for that super awesome video that we were able to share with everybody. We're just going to take a minute this morning to just kind of go through what we did this weekend and what our focus was through Faith in Action. If this is the first time you're hearing about Faith in Action, the video gives you a pretty good glimpse of physically what we were doing and then kind of our overall mission. But basically, Faith in Action is an in-town 3-day mission trip where we go out in the community. We receive nominations starting in April-ish in the community, and then we go through those and figure out what we're able to accomplish, and then we send out crews and we do that. So God has been working in this ministry for, I think this is our seventh? We've been doing it a long time. And so it's been so cool and just so rewarding, and we're just continually amazed year after year at just the work that God does in these 3 days. So wanted to give like a quick overview of all the things that we've done. Oh, I forgot. You don't want your kids up here. They can go downstairs. You're welcome.
If you want them to.
All right, so I am a numbers person. If you're not, I'm sorry, hang on for the ride because I'm going to throw some numbers here your way. So over the course of the last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, on Thursday, we had 12 different projects or jobs, 12 jobs, 74 volunteers, and we were in 7 homes. On Friday, we had 16 projects or jobs, 87 volunteers, and we were in 8 homes. And on Saturday, we had 14 projects. It was just a half day on Saturday for some. But there was 14 projects, 73 volunteers, and 6 homes. Some of those homes we were in multiple days. So over the course of those 3 days, we were in 20 different homes in our community. And so that was 20 different homes that we were able to witness to and to share the gospel with. And that was just such an incredible thing. Yes, for sure. So, okay, a few more numbers or a few more facts here, and then we're going to get into some of the fun stuff. So over the last 3 days, we demoed and rebuilt 2 porches. We shingled a roof. We poured 2 concrete pads and a sidewalk. Painted inside 4 homes and outside of 2 homes. We deep cleaned 6 homes. Built a retaining wall. Installed a stove and a window AC unit. We cleaned and weeded 10 yards. We cut down 1 tree and only gave a few people a heart attack, because Phil was in charge of the saw and there were children around. We provided care for 25 kids every day, all day. And those kids, what I love especially about the kids' ministry is that they aren't just being babysat. They're out in the community and they're also participating. And so those kids were all over town over those 3 days, including the library. They prayed at parks and then played, of course. And they chalked. They did sidewalk chalk at the Lutheran home in the annex. They played bingo at Windsor Manor and many others. So it was cool to have our kids be a part of that as well. Our kitchen crew served over 900 meals over those 3 days. We were also able to deliver lunches and have lunch with our homeowners. So that's just another area that we were able to intentionally spend time with the people in our community. We spent over 20 hours in intentional and focused conversation with those homeowners and starting to build those relationships. So that's ultimately the mission of Faith in Action, right? The work that we get to do, the physical work that we get to do, is just an avenue for us to be able to share the love of Jesus. And so we couldn't do those things without the all of you doing the physical work as well. But to be able to open those doors is just so incredible, and God is so good. And then we also spent over 12 hours in intentional and focused prayer in our town. So we have a crew that goes and prays over our entire community, over our projects. And so that's an incredible honor that we're able to do that as well. Okay. We've got a few people who want to say some things, if they have any energy left in those brains. So, Christy, what you got for us?
Okay, I don't normally talk in front of the people here, so don't judge me. But one really cool story that I wanted to share over the course of the weekend, a couple of guys went and did an unexpected roofing project at one of the homes, and the homeowner had half of a bundle of shingles at his house that matched what he had on his roof. And so we're like, okay, we'll call McDowell's and get whatever else we need, right? So we call McDowell's, they have 7 bundles of the same shingles that match. Okay, well, we estimate maybe we'll need 8. Let's see how this goes. So they go ahead and take care of it all, get it all going. They're down to like the last little 2 sheets of shingles, and they're like, shoot, we're out. So one of the guys was like looking around on the ground, and he's like, oh, there's one we dropped, and there's another one we dropped. They had a quarter of a shingle left and 2 ridge caps out of all of the materials that were available to them. So God's pretty amazing. Like, how else would that have worked, right? So, yeah, one of the many cool stories of the weekend. So,
Christy and I just found ourselves saying so many times, like, oh, well, that's not just a God thing. I don't know. How can we do this? We talked about how we wish that we need to do this. Whoever leads next year will need to do this. Just track our mileage between all of the projects. It's constant go, 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 but it's so cool to be able to see all the projects in action and to see the relationships being built. So, okay, Deb.
Okay, one more thing before Deb gets the microphone. As we were planning this, we also said we should just keep track of the hours of the planning stuff, but one of the nights we sat down and we put all the projects on the board and we just sat there and laughed for like 5 minutes straight because we're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to fill all these spots of people to come do all these projects that we have set up? And God is so gracious. Like, we just, after we got done laughing about, like, this is a ridiculous amount of things to fill, we just were like, God's got it. We're not even going to worry about it because God's going to bless us with all these amazing people, and he surely did. So thank you so much.
All right. I could tell a gazillion stories about the last 3 days, but I won't. But God's fingerprints were all over the community this weekend. It was just so awesome to see how he just provided for everything, down to the last little shingle that we needed. One of the projects that I worked on yesterday with Candy, and there are so many blessings in working with Faith in Action, because not only did we make relationships with the people in the community, but I was able to make relationships with people in our own congregation that, quite honestly, I did not know very well. We all gather together and we see these faces, but we don't really have time to talk and really connect. And there were several great relationships that were built in that area. But one of the projects that I worked on yesterday with Candy was that we had the best job of all of them, and I should not tell you that because you'll all rush to sign up for that next year and then I won't get to do it again. But it is going out and talking to the homeowners and being intentional about visiting with them and just developing that relationship with them. And we were able to meet with 5 different homeowners yesterday, and they all have amazing stories to tell and share, and they love to visit, they love to tell about their life, and so we have a lot of great conversations just getting to know each other. And then we are always intentional about seeing where they're at, if they're willing to share anything spiritual. A lot of times it just starts with you attend a church anywhere, and some do, and we're encouraged by that, and it's cross-churching and being able to share our faith together in Jesus. And some of them don't have a church home, and so it's just the opportunity to share with them. And I had one specific incident Candy and I did where we went to a homeowner, and she was telling us great things, just chatting about her background and her history and stuff. And so then I came around to the church, and I said, do you go to church anywhere? And she goes, well, no, it's hard for me to get there and stuff. And so I invited her, of course, and everything, and we had that conversation. And so then all of a sudden, she just spoke up, and she said, can I tell you about what I believe? And I said, I would love to hear about what you believe. And so she proceeded to tell me that, I won't go into it all, but basically it was reincarnation. And so she went into this story about how she believed that she would die someday, and that she would be reincarnated and be able to come back to the earth and enjoy life as something else. And then in the next breath, she shared that she hopes to see her family members in heaven. She can't wait for that. And so she talked, you know, fairly lengthy about what she thought and says her thoughts. And so she had finished with that. And I said, that's a very interesting concept, you know, the thought process that you have. I said, can I share with you what we believe? And she says, yeah, of course. And so I was able to share with her what Blessed Hope stands for. And I won't go through it all, but I just basically told her, you know, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and it is the truth, and it starts with Genesis and ends in Revelations, and everything from front to back is truth, and we try to follow that truth. And she was familiar with Jesus as being dying on the cross, and so went kind of through that story there, you know, about the gospel message, basically, very intently. And she listened very intently on that. And when we were finished, then she said again something about she hopes to see her loved ones in heaven. And so God just orchestrates conversations. I mean, it's nothing that I could have come up with on my own, or I don't even know half of what I said to her, actually. But I remember telling her when she made that comment, I said, you know, if your loved ones, because we already talked about Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I said, if your loved ones knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior and put their faith in him, and you put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you will see them in heaven again someday. And it's just walking that fine road of not intimidating them, not making them feel bad, not wondering, but just speaking truth. And God just allows us to be able to do that. I would like to say that it ended with this awesome prayer, and she accepted Christ into her life as Lord and Savior, but it didn't, and that's fine, because God opens doors for us, and as long as we're willing to walk through that door of opportunity, he is going to use that. And I think this was a seed that was planted, probably not the first seed, might have been the 4th, 5th, 10th, 15th, I don't know. But the seed was once again planted, it will be watered, and hopefully we will see that come to bloom and have the happy ending of hearing her accepting Jesus and understanding what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And so with that, I guess I just want to emphasize that if you were part of Faith in Action this year, you saw some of those amazing stories happen. If you were unable to be part of Blessed Hope this year, first of all, it isn't a Thursday through Sunday or Thursday through Saturday weekend, but here at Blessed Hope, it's year-round. And we have lots of opportunities moving forward that we can have our hands and feet in our community and continuing to bless these people, continuing the relationships with them, all of these homeowners. A large majority of them are elderly. They're not all, but they all have needs. And if we can stay connected with them and go back and visit them and continue to plant those seeds, water those seeds, that's year-round for us. And when things come up in the community and there's opportunities for us to serve, we don't want to wait just for 3 days in June. We want to be year-round serving Jesus because he is awesome and there are so many opportunities and it is such a blessing. We think that we bless them, but when you're interacting with these people and helping people, we're the ones that are receiving the blessing tenfold. So I encourage us to continue our mission and continue talking about all the cool stories that are out there because there's a lot of them.
Thank you, Deb. Okay, Barb Gator. We should bring the microphone to you guys so you don't have to walk all the way up.
Yeah. I'm like Christy. I'm not one to stand up here and talk a whole lot, so I'm going to make it short. I was in a couple of different houses this weekend. The first one was, we were in there for 2 days painting the inside. And she's a very trusting soul because she allowed us to paint over her. She couldn't get out of her chair. So we painted right over the top of her and didn't get paint all over. So that was a good blessing. And she was so funny because she sat in her chair and watched TV while we were in there pretty much all day long. But she had the volume on, I think, when we first got there. But after a while, she turned her volume off because I think she just wanted to listen to us chatter. And at one point, we were like, well, you know, are we bothering you? Because we can, you know, be quiet and you can watch your show or whatever. And so then we started bidding on Price is Right, I think, with her to see who was going to get the closest. And I won, of course, with my 01 at the end. So, but she was so appreciative at the end when we got ready to leave. She says, I don't want to cry, but I want to cry. My house looks amazing. She said it hadn't looked that good since she moved in 15 years ago. And so that makes you really feel good that you did that. Okay, let me regroup here. The other one, Nicole helped with a different project in the same apartment complex, and that lady just loves to talk, and so they had a good time, I think, there. So I just kind of checked in and out on them. And then the last one was yesterday, and we went to a lady's house on oxygen 100% of the time, and the weather was such, the sun wasn't out, so it was like the cloud cover. She was able to sit outside with us, which she doesn't get to do. And so she got to sit out and talk to, I think Eric was out and about in that area, and we all just got to visit with her more because she wasn't stuck in the house. And she just loved all of the interaction and people coming and going. And I think several people came and just sat and talked to her. And she loved that. And when we got ready to leave, she got up out of her chair and she's just like, I want to give you a hug because you guys have done so amazing. She is able to drive and she was going to go to church. And the one thing she wanted to do when she got home was she wanted to drive around her yard where she could actually see all of the stuff that we had done. And she was just, that was her exciting thing she was going to do today when she got home from church. So it touches your heart for those people. So I love the little old ladies. They're awesome. They're awesome.
Thanks, Barb. Give me a hug.
Who wants to follow that? You got it, Nate?
We serve a God who is amazing and awesome and faithful and good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was reminded this week a lot of a song that it's a children's song that we play for our kids. And the words, part of it is, God is good. Oh, Hannah, I'm problem solved. God is good. He fixed the problem just like I knew he would. Problem solved. I knew God could solve that problem. God is so good. As day one turned into day two, turned into day three, more and more I started to feel like a 3-foot-tall child that just dropped into the 4-foot part of the pool. And God just, he puts the right people in the right places at the right times. And the guys that worked on our project did a fantastic job, but it was a big, big project. And I just started feeling more and more like there is no way that we're going to finish this in the time allotted. And then God sent a rescue crew, and we were able to get it done. And I was just so thankful. It was just so good to see people come together and accomplish this project, and just to be a blessing to this family. I often feel our Lord Jesus Christ, he was a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. And I often feel, did anybody encounter any bent nails over the week? I know our project, there were a lot of bent nails. A lot of bent nails. And I often feel like I'm a bent nail in the hands of my carpenter. And God is good. And he knows how to use bent nails to do amazing things. And I just was so thankful for the way that God was able to use each one of us to make an impact on the lives of others and to shine his light in our community. It just really struck me, God's goodness in being willing to use us, in being willing to use me, to be a blessing to others and to shine his light.
Thanks, Nate. So I mentioned this before, but we receive nominations from the community for these projects. So as a church group, we aren't necessarily going out. Individuals in our church, yes. But as a whole church, we're not really going out trying to find these projects. God sends them to us. And so one thing that's really cool is that this year, we try to always focus on homeowner projects. So in the past, we've done some community projects, like at the skating rink and some of the trails in town and schools and stuff like that. But when we really stepped back and we thought about the mission of Faith in Action, it's outreach, right? When we're out in the community, that's not, for nothing. People see and people ask and people notice, and that's great. But when we're able to make connections with homeowners and be able to provide that care and that love to them directly, that's where we kind of feel like God calls us during these 3 days. And so what's so cool is that this year we were able to say yes to every single homeowner nomination. So any nomination that came into us this year was fulfilled. And so it's pretty amazing that we're able to sit back and say, oh my gosh, like God sent all these people and we went. And that's just, it's one of those things that you step back and you're like, well, we surely couldn't have done this on our own. And so just another reminder of how incredible God is to be able to do those things. So it's never about the work. It's always about the people that we're able to meet and start to build those relationships with. So, yeah. Ready for a nap?
Yep.
Cool. Okay, I'm just going to close this here with a prayer, and then David will come up. And yes, Carolyn.
I've had the privilege of leading the prayer ride, and I'm just going to emphasize once again, it is not walking, okay? In case you want to sign up for next year, you get to ride around in a golf cart or in a vehicle, depending on the weather. We have a different kind of job. It's not physical labor, but it is a lot of work. And every year is different. Even though some of the same people continue to be faithful in in fulfilling the role of blanketing this town with prayer. This year, we had not a lot of interaction with people outside. It seems like some years there we see a lot of people out about walking or working in their yard or doing things like that. There was a little of that, but not so much. But we did have an opportunity that God presented to us that was unique this year. And I'm not going to get real specific, but I do want to tell you that we had an opportunity, one of our prayer warriors had an opportunity to witness to a young woman who followed us for a while. So this was not accidental by any means. She was out walking and jogging, and she came to us twice to chat and did not want us to pray for her, but engaged in a conversation, and it was very obvious to the other three of us in the cart that this was a spirit-led witness. Awesome. we don't know, you know, the seeds were planted. Obviously, we may not know what the end result is. But when you're able to take part in something like that, it just, and there are a lot of little things that happen too as we pray, as we interact with each other, and just become more aware of some of the needs in town. It strengthens your own faith walk. It just can't help but do that. And it's just amazing to be able to pray with other people, to just hear others' words as we petition to God. So it is an awesome way to participate in faith in action, and I would just encourage you to do that next year.
Thanks, Carolyn. Yes, I think a lot of times we're so focused on the physical work, right? All the projects and going into the homes and things like that, but truly going up and down every street in our community and covering this entire town in prayer is pretty remarkable. And then God provides incredible opportunities like that to actually be a witness to someone directly. So pretty cool. All right, would you just pray with me this morning and as we wrap this piece up here? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for you. We're so grateful for the opportunities that you've provided this weekend. God, you're just so good, and we could not do this without you, and so we are just so grateful that you provide these things to us. We thank you that you use us in this way, God. We know that you do not need any of us to do this work. You could do this on your own. You could draw people closer to you, but that you allow us to be a part of that is so incredible, and we are absolutely blessed for it. So we just thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of that and to be a part of your work. God, we just ask that we represented you well this weekend, that people didn't see us as a church or us as the people we are, but as truly as your hands and feet, God. We just ask that whatever seeds were planted this weekend, that you just continue to nurture and grow them. And God, continue to use us through that process, whatever that looks like for us in the next year to come. We just ask that you continue to use us and give us the courage to say yes to your calling, God, that we would be able to step up when we are convicted, when we're feeling called to share your word, to share the gospel. We just thank you so much, God. We are in absolute awe of your goodness and your majesty. We just love you so much. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Amen. So now, before those two leave, we have to take a second. Of course, this is a church effort, but We do. This is what I love about servants, right? The heart of a servant of God is they ask for no recognition, but yet the countless time and effort and even stress that most of us never experience because we just get to show up and go out and do the work that they take on to make sure that we can stand here today and give God glory. I think we as a church need to show them the recognition they deserve for leading Faith in Action this year. So please express that. All right, so this year I told them, leave me a few minutes. If you were here last year, they didn't leave me a few minutes. Because I just want to kind of, I want us to take, as we've gathered and we worship, I think it's also important just for us to take a moment and reflect on God's word and even in the realm of what we've been talking about. And I love hearing, you know, the amazing things God accomplished. And then just even the things that God, like the whole time people were up here sharing, I'm over there kind of just smiling to myself because all these memories just kind of over the last 3 days kept popping up. Right? Like I was at the site that was bidding at Price is Right, but I wasn't there when it happened, and I came in at the end, and the excitement they had, you would have thought they just got called up front. Right? Like I come walking in like I missed the greatest moment of the day, right? So I was kind of smiling about that and I said, you know, when we opened up devotions the first day, I said, don't neglect the relationships you'll build with one another. And, you know, as Deb was sharing that, like getting to know people at different work sites, and I was smiling over there because I was excited because I found there was like a closet Star Wars fanatic in our church during Faith in Action. Right? And I was so excited because we started having conversations. I mean, these were like the nerdy conversations, like the whole like, so what do you think about the prequels? Let's, you know, we started debating and like going into it. So, I mean, there was so much fun with it while all in the midst of God doing amazing things. And what's amazing about Faith in Action, or any time we serve God, we may never see what God has planned, but God still has a plan. Right? And sometimes that's the thing we have to remember is we might not actually see right in front of us what God intended with it, but God promises that he uses everything for his glory and for his purposes. And so as I was reflecting on, you know, even while we were out during Faith in Action, this was the thought that just kept going through my mind that I just want to take a few moments to share with us this morning. And it's simply this: God uses the ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary, right? And we might have heard something similar to that, or we've thought about that before, but I think we have to just pause for a moment and realize that, because as individuals came up, and as Haley went through the list of the projects that were done, we saw them on the video, and we celebrate in that. I want us to realize that so much more happened over these 3 days than just projects. Right? Over the last 3 days, this wasn't just about the yard work or the painting and the cleaning and the home repair or even the children's things that happened and all the other activities. And that's what I loved about everybody that came up, highlighted that. This was so much more than just the projects. And it made me think of a scripture that I want to share with you this morning. And you've probably, many of us have heard it and we know it, but this is ultimately what happened, the entirety of Faith in Action, whether we realize it or not. And it was this. Paul declares, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. See, the entirety of Faith in Action, the entirety, not just in those 3 days, but when we go out and we serve, Christ is making his appeal through us. We are being sent as Christ's ambassadors. Even in the moments, I mean, this is what I love about how God works. Even in the moment when a handful of people were in a living room with an elderly woman who does not get very many visitors. In fact, God reminded me of that. So I was there the first day, and then we were back the second day. And as we were painting and we were started, we were back to talking. And she had her TV on, but it was on mute again. And I looked at her and I said, "So did you enjoy last night not having us, you know, some peace and quiet?" And she just kind of just simply said, "No, I didn't, because that's all I ever have is peace and quiet." And it just had you have that moment of like, oh, right? It just makes you realize that everybody doesn't experience life or view life the same way you do. Right? So in that moment, it just made me stop and just think, that's part of being Christ ambassadors. We make being Christ ambassador into this, well, I have to go and actually share the gospel with somebody. And don't get me wrong, that's a huge part of it. But sometimes it's just being present in a person's life and being there and having that moment where the crazy conversations that are happening with these church people challenge you or encourage you to turn the TV so you're not listening. I mean, that's powerful stuff. And so as I was thinking about this, that we are Christ's ambassador, it made me think of another scripture. It's in the same train of thought. It's in the same book. It's in 2 Corinthians. Paul, before he makes this statement, he actually says something else that I thought was powerful that I want to encourage us with this morning. Because sometimes we can disqualify ourselves, or maybe not even disqualify, we can lessen what we think God is able to do in and through our lives. Right, we see what God can do maybe through other people, and we say to ourselves, well, God can't do that through me. But in the same train of thought, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul makes this statement. He says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves." Paul is talking about this amazing transformation that God does in the lives of a Christian and how he calls us to be used and the ministry that he gives to us. And Paul is declaring something extremely important. He's basically saying, don't get arrogant in how God uses you, because we're just these fragile clay jars. We're really nothing in this other than through the power of God and what he does. And so it made me stop and think about this. And can we just rejoice as a church and rejoice as believers knowing this amazing truth that God in his infinite wisdom for some reason decided to use us to fulfill his mission in this world? That's an amazing truth. That God, in his infinite wisdom, that's why I want to say it that way, like God was not making a foolish decision. God, in his infinite wisdom, Paul is saying, God has put this amazing treasure and this amazing responsibility, and he's placed it upon us as these fragile clay jars. I think it's an amazing truth that should cause us to rejoice. So I just want to take a moment, and I want to encourage you with something, and simply this. Remember I said, God uses ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. So this morning, I want us to all realize that God uses ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. See, the problem I think that many times we have is we look at the champions of faith. And that could even be in our world today, or that could even be in the Bible. Sometimes I think we can look at these champions of faith, or however we want to call them, the people that are included in Scripture. And we can look at them and see these amazing ways that God used them. And we can kind of put them up here and put us down here and say, man, I'm not like them. I can't be like them. I can't be used like them. But the problem is, as many times we view people, especially in Scripture, we look at them through the lens of what God accomplished through them instead of looking at them through the lens of where God found them. Because many of the champions of faith that we celebrate actually had very humble beginnings that many of us could probably relate with. Because God uses simple, ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Think about it just for a moment. Just from Scripture, here's some examples. Noah was really an unknown person. There's nothing about, he's an unknown man, but yet God used him to build an ark to save the world. Abraham and Sarah were old. In fact, they viewed themselves as washed up. I hear people even today still feeling that way. We're too old to be used by God, but yet God used this couple that maybe the world saw as washed up. He used them to build a nation. Joseph was an entitled teenager. See, the scripture speaks to all of us, wherever we're at. Old and young, right? Joseph was an entitled teenager. In fact, I think when you read the story of Joseph, I think when he was young, when we first see him, I think he had some arrogance about him and the way he spoke to his family. But here's Joseph as this teenager who God used to save two nations. Joseph was used to save Egypt and to save Israel. Moses, by his own admission, was a man that couldn't speak well and actually was a disgraced prince who lived in exile in the wilderness. But yet God chose him to be his spokesman, to be the leader of his people and the one that he gave the law to. Rahab was a prostitute who God used to help bring on the conquest or begin the conquest of the promised land. Rahab, a prostitute who actually became part of the line of kings and even became the line of Jesus himself. David was a forgotten shepherd who was left out in the field but yet became a giant slayer and a king of Israel. Jonah was a judgmental prophet who didn't like people and actually hated entire groups of people, but yet God used him to save a city. Peter was a hot-tempered fisherman that couldn't control his mouth. In fact, overreacted all the time. But God used him to be the foundation and the leader of his church. Matthew was a greedy tax collector who God used to write a gospel. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed, and God used her to be the first person to announce the resurrection of Jesus. Paul was an actual enemy of Jesus Christ and an enemy of the church. But yet God used him to be the builder of the church and to write most of the New Testament. See, what I want us to see when we think about this is that none of these people, when God came upon them, were extraordinary. In fact, many of them had problems. They were the bent nail, so to speak. But yet notice what they did for God. Notice how God used them. God came into the lives of ordinary people. What I want to encourage us with is something when it comes to this, when we think about this, is that many times we limit what we think God can do in and through our lives. Can I challenge you with something? When you allow yourself to limit what God can do in you and through you, you're not limiting yourself, you're limiting Him. That's the encouragement for all of you this morning. Is that when we limit what God can do, we're not being humble about ourselves. We're limiting the limitless God. So God uses ordinary people. Now, here's the last thing I want to share with you, because it's not just that God uses ordinary people. He also uses ordinary acts of service. And when I say ordinary, I don't want to lessen them, but sometimes we see them as not significant or not important. Many times we look at our lives and we think we have to do these grand things for God. These massive, impressive acts of service that everybody notices. In fact, the world tries to tell us, and even ourselves, we try to tell ourselves that, unfortunately, small acts of service don't matter. The world tries to get us to say that if we're not doing something big, if we're not doing something that's impacting big numbers of people, then it doesn't matter. That our good works don't matter. And that if we're not making a big impact, then we shouldn't even bother doing what we're called to do. We have these voices that try to tempt us to think that if we're not making a significant difference, then we're not really making a difference at all. I want you to realize this morning why the world tries to tell us this, why this comes against us, is because Satan wants to shut you up and he wants to shut you down. Because our God doesn't need people that does these grand things for him. What God needs is people that are willing to step in to the little things faithfully every single day. But see, again, the enemy tries to make us think if it's not big and impressive, it's not worth anything. Remember, Jesus fed the multitudes with a small boy that just packed a lunch. Right? It's not always about big and like these huge things. In fact, we have to understand that the seeds that we plant, and I love this because Paul talked about this also to the church in Corinth. Paul talked about, he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but guess who made the increase? God. See, many times the enemy wants to make it out like we're responsible for the increase. We're not responsible for the increase. We're just responsible for the seed. And the seed's the smallest thing. See, we make it out, the enemy wants us to think we're responsible for the harvest. We're not responsible for the harvest. In fact, Jesus said that. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. God is over the harvest. God's over the increase. God's over what's going to happen. All he asks us to do is plant the seed and water it. And let me take care of everything else. That's what God asks us to do. So when we plant the seeds, when we water the seeds, then we place them in the hands of the infinite God who creates extraordinary increases that we could never imagine. You know, it made me think just recently in the last couple of weeks, I came across, as I was reading and doing some studying with some other stuff, Chip Ingram. If anybody doesn't know, he's a pastor, very well known pastor around the world, author, speaker. But Chip Ingram, I was reading some stuff of him, and he was just simply talking about a mentor in his life. He had a mentor while he was in college, and he doesn't name the mentor. He just simply calls him the bricklayer. That's how he refers to him, as the bricklayer. And Chip Ingram says this. Now realize, this is a man, Chip Ingram, that God is using around the world. And see, again, we step back and we say, oh, that's what's significant. That's the most important. I can't do what he's doing. But this is what Chip Ingram said about the bricklayer. He said, this man demonstrated in simple ways how to be a godly man, how to be a godly husband, and how to be a godly servant. It was through his small acts of service that God used that to shape the life of another. See, again, we look at the big things and we say, I can't do that, but that's not who God needs. God needs people that are willing and faithful to be in the small acts of service and placing them in the hands of a mighty God and letting God decide what he wants to do with it. And so again, I don't want anybody to walk away from Faith in Action or anything that you do for God and ever say, well, all I did was just clean a house. All I did was just paint a room. All I did was just have a conversation. All I did was just build a deck. Because in the hands of an infinite God, there's no such thing as all I did was just. That's the point. God uses ordinary people doing ordinary things to do extraordinary, eternal harvest. See, God wants to produce a harvest in every single one of your lives. Do you realize that? I really want that to sink in because it's, but God wants to produce a harvest in every single one of your lives. How do I know that? Because Jesus, in his teaching, said that he wants you to be the soil that receives the seed that produces a harvest that is 30, 60, or even 100 times more than what was put into you. God wants to produce a harvest in us. And the harvest, again, this is what I love about it. The harvest comes not from us. The harvest comes from the smallest seed that is planted, but yet that is entrusted to God. That's all we're asked to do, is to be faithful in the acts of service that God wants us to be faithful in. So as we end with this just encouragement and celebration of faith in action, I want us to end with this truth. Faith in action is not a yearly event. Actually, I had a smile as I was over there because as Deb was talking, I was like, she's stealing my stuff. I'm like, that's my closing. But see, that's the cool part, because God's truth is always God's truth, no matter when God's truth shows up. Faith in action is not a yearly event. We are not closing out faith in action. Faith in action is actually something that we are supposed to live out. It's a lifestyle. Jesus said it himself, I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve. Christians, our job is not to create the best life possible. Our job is to serve. And we serve Jesus by serving one another. Jesus speaks the same truth to us when he washes the disciples' feet. Jesus, after he washes their feet, remember this is happening right before he's going to be arrested and crucified. He washes their feet and then he looks at them and he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Because no servant is greater than his master. I have come not to be served, but to serve. Chris, let's just stop for a moment and just think about this for a moment. Could you imagine how the church, and I'm not just talking our church, I'm saying the church in America, would radically transform if more people looked at it as not what are you going to do for me, but what am I going to do for Jesus? Imagine the radical transformation that would happen in communities across our nation. But Jesus says, I have set you an example. I love the name Faith in Action, but I want you to hear this. It is faith in action, but realize this. Faith actually requires action. If there's no action, there's no faith. Faith requires action. It's a lifestyle. Faith in action is a lifestyle. So as we leave here today, as we prepare to continue on, I don't want you to walk out of here and say, yes, we completed another year of faith in action, because that makes it sound like it has a stopping point. It doesn't have a stopping point. We are called to live a lifestyle. As we leave here today, I encourage us as followers of Jesus, are we willing to live out the lifestyle? A lifestyle of serving our neighbor, but also serving a stranger. A lifestyle of serving our brothers and sisters in the church. This is what God calls us to. Because I want to encourage you with this, every single one of you, when you leave here, when you enter into the day tomorrow and you start your Monday, realize this, God has surrounded you with occasions to serve him. Every moment of every day you are given the ability to serve Jesus. Jesus is asking us to step into the small areas, the ordinary moments of the day where we get to be his salt and light to the world. So, as the praise team comes and we close in worship, here's just the simple questions I want you to leave here with. How is God calling you to serve him? Many of us, I know, already are, so I'm not trying to say, hey, do more or anything like that, but it's a question we should constantly be asking. Lord, I want my faith to be in action. I want to serve you. It could be simply building a relationship with the neighbor just across the street. It could be building a relationship with a coworker. It could be serving in the church, because none of it is just simply that, what I just said. It's not just. Those that serve downstairs faithfully with children, those that serve with the youth, those that serve in life groups, those that serve in creative missions, those that serve in any of the multiple forms of ways you can serve in the church, it's never done as just, because it's being placed in the hands of an infinite God and trusting him to do something extraordinary with our ordinary. How is God calling you to serve? How is God calling you to be his ambassador? Please don't think faith in action is over. This is simply the beginning. And man, it's a joy to be used by God. Hey, you might find out there's another closet Star Wars fan somewhere. And you feel like you're not alone. Or it could be as simply as letting somebody know you're not forgotten. You're not overlooked. There's someone that cares for you. There's someone that wants to share Jesus with you. How is God asking you to be his ambassador? As we close today in worship, I want us to understand that our motivation to serve must never be a have to. Our motivation to serve must never be a have to. Our motivation to serve must always be based on the fact that Jesus first came to serve us. Our motivation to serve one another must always be based on the fact that Jesus came as our marvelous and wonderful Savior. So, Father God, as we end our time together, we do continually rejoice in you and celebrate all that you have accomplished. But right now, allow us to focus on the fact that Jesus, the only reason we have any of the blessings that we have, the hope we have, the faith that we have, the peace that we have, whatever it is, Lord, it's all because, Jesus, you were willing to come and be our wonderful and merciful Savior, to come and do what was necessary for us to have this relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray that as we worship you and we close our time together, let us just be in awe of you. Let us just be in awe. You are worthy of our worship and our praise. Church, please stand as we worship together.